A little bit of chaos back here, nothing to worry about. That's normal for me in my life. How about you? We good there? All right, okay. Don't know what's coming up next, but how did you like those scriptures? That was a long time to stand, I admit, on the New Testament, going into the hymn and everything. Is it nice to sit down, kind of rest, let your minds wander? Well, come on back. We got the word in our midst. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be blessed unto you, O Lord. May we offer what you would offer to the people. Grace and peace to you. That's a great, and I love John. I mean, preachers love the Gospel of John, and some awesome scripture this morning, and it was wonderful to hear Nalu sing it. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to be, the Almighty. Wow. Now, those are some bona fides. That's awesome stuff. This is the one. This is God, Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah. How many different names? Somebody wrote a short story. This is way off topic, but somebody wrote a short story, and there was a certain priestly sect that believed that if they could name all the names of God, it would be the end of time. And so he goes to visit them, and they're just finishing, and he looks, and he says, well, so much for that. And he goes out, and he notices that the stars are going out one at a time, naming all the names of God. We don't need to go that far. It is the Lord, and we are grateful. The one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Sometimes we overlook a portion of that. Who is, who was, who is to come. This is God of time. We seem to be constrained by time. I think of that every morning when I get up after having done more vigorous activity than I expected, and my body says, we're angry. And I'm thinking the ravages of time continue to nudge at me. I can remember as a kid being able to do stuff like that, and I didn't even hesitate. Somehow it's changed. And God has a sense of humor. Have you noticed? The hair is disappearing up here, but now it's coming out here. What's the deal with that? I don't quite understand. I guess it's gravity. But this is God of time, God of time itself. Think about that. God isn't constrained by moments or what will be and having to wait. God is God. God is of all things and all whens. Who could possibly have any doubts, any questions about the magnificence of this wondrous God? Who in the world could you imagine anyone? And especially think about the disciples that got to spend time with Jesus. The disciples that Jesus chose. He turned and said, come, follow me, and they did. And he chose them, and they're radically diverse. Many of them that would have been sworn enemies gathered together as his 12, including Judas, including Thomas. Oh my goodness, Thomas. How do you know Thomas? Do you know Thomas as doubting Thomas? He's gained that wonderful symbolic name. In the scripture, Nalu read, he's the twin, it's Didymus, Thomas Didymus. I tried to figure out where the twin part comes in. Do you have any idea why he's called? A little bit of research for us there sometime along the way, but why is he called a twin? And it doesn't matter, but he gets the nickname Doubting Thomas because of the event we heard. Jesus' appearance to many of the disciples, and Thomas is absent. And they tell him, we met the Lord, he was here. And he says, I don't believe you. I understand that. I can understand that. And there's a certain part that is very vital to us. That is that faith doesn't come from someone else's faith or someone else's experiences. Faith is personal. It is what we know and how we are and who we are. And famous Thomas names it, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nail in his side, I will not believe. I think we should call him Thomas the Honest. It doesn't have quite the ring. Does that declare me as a skeptic? Maybe. Ever since the internet began to be the internet, and we remember, most of us here are of an age well enough to remember before the internet. I have to tell you a fun story. My other daughter, Sarah, one day we were sitting talking, as it's only been a couple years ago, but she says, "Dad, I have to ask you a question, Dad." When your adult daughter asks in that, you kind of pause. But she says, "You know the phones with the round things on them and the numbers and the holes? How do those work?" And she says, I think you just put your finger in the hole and just turn it. Is that what? Yep. I said, you just put your number in there and spin it around to the round. Okay. We still call it dialing the phone. And there's a lot of kids that have no idea why that's the case. That old system of the phone system. And so time's changing and always all this. And so the internet comes along. And I begin to read and hear things. And I was skeptical. At first, I was kind of suckered in. I mean, oh my goodness, listen to all these things you hear. And isn't this amazing? Isn't this wonderful? But another fellow that I was friends with, he says, be careful. And so he pointed me at a website called Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S. And their mission since forever has been to search out some of the stories that come out and find out if they can be verified or if they are made up. It's astonishing to read a story, then go to Snopes and read the real story. And people have often sent me stories. What do you know about this, preacher? Ah, I don't, but I'll find out and let you know. And I do, and then I send it to them, and we're all a little wiser. But it's all right to be a bit skeptical, isn't it? It's a bit, okay. By the way, I was going to tell the finance committee that I noted that I received an email. We have received $8 million in an account from Africa from a guy who left his entire estate to us. We just need to call them and give them some information and maybe send some money to hold the money. And yeah, the scams abound. Skepticism isn't bad. And so because of that skepticism in Thomas, a lot of us are like that. And unless I see the marks, I will not believe. So Thomas, he's really the only person that we know of that had a moment of lapse of faith, did it? Or was Simon Peter's a lapse of faith when he knew that Jesus was being tried and he's outside and someone recognized him? Aren't you one of the 12? Weren't you? No, I don't know the man, he would say. Was that a lapse of faith? There's a lot of theology wrapped in Peter's denials. But there's a lot of humanity wrapped in that as well. But of all those who were faithful, perhaps it is the women who are the most faithful. They're the ones that are at the cross when he dies. All the others had run and hid and because they might be added to their own crosses there with him. But the women are there, and it's the women that encounter him first on Easter morning. We heard Mary. Was hers a lapse of faith when she can't find him in the temple? She turns and there he is. He's outside the tomb, and she doesn't recognize him. Would we? She saw him die. She knows he's dead. This is no question. This is no someone has shared the news with her. Some mistake could have happened. She saw it happen. She is sure. And so there's no way that this can be the living Jesus standing in front of her. So that lapse of faith, John is exploring faith definitively. And Mary doesn't recognize Jesus until he calls her by name. Mary, he says. And it breaks her out into the awareness. She has that epiphany. And she says, Rabboni, teacher, it is you. What a miraculous event. This is Mary. Faith is an interesting thing. Fred Craddock wrote a piece that I just love. He said, in the Gospel of John, there is faith based on signs, and there is faith that needs none. There is faith weak and faith strong. There is faith shallow, and there is faith deep. There's faith growing, and there is faith faltering. I had to just pause and sit with that. This Fred Craddock he's the preacher's preacher. He is an amazing fellow. And his depth of spirit astonished me. And yet to say the possibility that there's faith waning. But he's describing the human condition. It's true, and this is what we're about, and that's what we are always about. There's a quote about faith. I don't have it correctly, and I didn't search it too deeply, but basically says that a faith that is untested may not be a very strong faith. It is when that faith is tested, it is when we must go through the valley of the shadow of death, then we know who we are and whose we are and who walks with us. Amen? So faith changes. If you really want to know how your faith is, a crisis will help you determine that. And Lord knows we've had a couple of crises. Some of them haven't seemed as abrupt, but most of us are old enough to have had some crises in our lives. We've had some of those events that challenge us and rock us deeply, and we can back up and ask ourselves, how did I deal with those? Did this challenge my faith? Did it reinforce my faith? Was my faith strong enough? And Craddock says that in every event that we face, we do that all over again. Our faith is challenged and tested and refined all over again. And it wavers. Sometimes we can have the strongest of faith, and sometimes we are as weak as a babe. You see, we're not quite perfect yet. I know that's a shock to some of you that you're not perfect. That was a joke. But we're moving on to perfection. We are moving on to perfection. Some of us are not moving at all here. We need to. But we are moving forward in faith. And we have to be moving forward. And that faith and every event that will come will be a different challenge to faith and what faith is about. And the important thing that John is pointing out is it's all right to be at different places. In his church, now he's writing about the year 90 to 110. Jesus began his ministry in year 30. So this is 60 to 80 years later, John is writing to the people. They don't know any of those disciples that were alive. They can't talk to Thomas. They can't check with someone who was fortunate enough to have been present and asked and seen the risen Christ. So now they're having to depend upon scripture and word and accounts from other people. And I began this sermon by saying our faith cannot depend on someone else. It is a faith that is personal and it is with God directly. And we are gifts of that. I want to take a brief aside here. I noted it when I first read the scripture for the sermon way back when I started working on this. And I heard it again today and realized I had skipped past it. But the scripture says this, your sins are forgiven. And if you forgive the sins of others, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of others, they are retained. Beware, I'm not sure that it says that those others will retain the sin. I hate to think that if we retain the sins of someone else, that we'd be the ones that take on those sins. that we become the retainers. We are the ones. That might be another sermon for another time, but it's unsettling to me. It's a good challenge to me. But this morning, then, the scripture of John, of all that we heard, all that Nalu read out of that passage from John, and out of all of that piece, is a testimony about God that we can have faith in. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Remember, there was no A to Z back in that day. The alphabet only went from A Alpha to Omega. So this is saying, I am the A through the Z. I am everything. The beginning and the end. The one who is, who was, and is to be. Creator of the universe. Giver of life. The Lord. And we give thanks. We give thanks. Amen.